The following recording consists of an inquiry-based introduction into the full body, the yogic, or the diaphragmatic breath. If you have a background already in meditation, yoga, or qigong, or a similar practice, you will likely be on familiar ground here, but I hope you nonetheless find something useful. If these concepts and practices are not familiar to you, please take the invitation to approach them slowly and mindfully, without placing too much pressure or expectation on yourself for instant results. As with so many domains of life, these are practices that reward gentle exploration and patient repetition over a long period. In the words of Donna Fari, "When you were born, your whole body breathed. Every cell quivered with the vitality of the breath. Every bone, muscle, and organ moved with every breath. Every nerve was energized by it. Every blood cell carried it. And every moment took as its meter the phrasing of your breath." From our birth until our last moment of life, the breath is truly with us, a rhythmic connection between the inner and the outer. While there is, of course, a basic function of the breath to provide oxygen to our cells and carry away carbon dioxide, the importance of respiration for our health and vitality goes way beyond simply gas exchange. So that spiritual traditions the world over are almost unanimous in emphasizing the importance of the breath. The relationship between the breath and something of deeper significance for our conscious experience can be seen in the ancient words used for the breath. In the Greek, pneuma means breath, but in a religious context it became synonymous also with psyche, meaning soul, or the breath of life. In Latin, spiritus meant the breath, but it also gave us the English word spirit, and came to be used to translate the Greek psyche. Later, psyche, literally to blow in Greek, came also to denote the totality of our conscious and unconscious experience, literally the mind. In Japanese, ki means both air and spirit, and in Sanskrit the word prana denotes not only the in-breath and the out-breath, but also the subtle breath, the life force that animates body and mind. From modern medical science, we know that breathing affects our respiratory, cardiovascular, neurological, gastrointestinal, muscular, and even psychological systems, and it also has a general effect on our memory, our energy level, the quality of our sleep, and our ability to concentrate. The pulse of the breath also connects us to something much more ancient perhaps as the first multicellular life. For primitive, single cells in a warm, shallow sea, gas exchange must have been a relatively simple process, happening spontaneously and continuously across their cell membranes, with the liquid environment surrounding them. As these cells began to aggregate into colonies, perhaps the need to access dissolved gases in a crowded microenvironment became something that required a little more organization and eventually negotiation with neighbors. We can visualize our breath today as an echo of this first cooperative response to the need to breathe, a pulsating answer to the call to life coming from deep within our tissues and cells. At its fullest expression, the breath is a complex dance of motion. While we are usually unaware of the dance of the breath on the microscopic scale of our cells, the gross movements of the body are more obvious. As we breathe in, the diaphragm descends, displacing the abdominal organs. The pelvic floor relaxes and the rib cage relaxes and releases, allowing the chest to expand as the lungs fill. And as we breathe out, the pelvic floor re-engages, the diaphragm lifts, expelling air from the lungs as the rib cage contracts. Our own experience will also tell us that our breath is one of the first things to respond to change in our lives. In moments of exertion, as our muscle cells work hard and call for additional oxygen to sustain their increased activity, our breath immediately deepens and quickens, exaggerating all those same patterns of movement. And in contrast, when we relax to sleep, for example, we experience a deepening and a slowing of the breath, as our tissues and organs reduce their energetic demands. The breath can also reflect more psychological changes, becoming shallow and rapid when we are nervous or angry, or becoming restricted when we are frightened or upset. So the breath is dynamic, changing moment to moment, but it also has a long memory. Just as our bodies learn and remember habits of movement and posture, patterns of breathing can become habitual, even if they are not always appropriate to the moment. Some common habits that can run counter to the natural flow of the breath include chest breathing, in which the movement of the diaphragm is limited, or even reverse breathing, where the belly is forced out with the exhalation instead of being drawn inwards. In the cultivation of awareness of the breath, the first stage of our journey is simply to come into contact with the breath just as it is. We are invited simply to observe the breath without needing to change it in any way. This is a powerful practice in and of itself, because the breath just is, here and now. It doesn't add anything to the story. It doesn't add anything or proliferate to our mental narrative of what is happening in the present moment. By directing an open, non-judging awareness toward the breath, we can come down out of our head, as it were, and find our ground, even when we are faced with a difficult situation, such as the experience of strong, flooding emotions like anger or sadness. In the words of Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh, we may feel like we have lost the ground under our feet. It takes our breath away. The first thing to do is to regain our footing. The practice of conscious breathing can help us to come back to the present moment and come back into the body. How to calm a racing heart and erratic breathing? It is actually very simple. We bring all our awareness back to our breath and focus exclusively on our breathing. We stop thinking about anything else and follow the breath as it moves in and out of the body. Apart from providing a refuge in such times, there is also another important dimension of the breath. As with any living system, the body-mind is a phenomenon composed of many feedback loops. This means that most of the streets, as it were, are two-way. We've heard already about the dynamic aspect of the breath, its capacity to change, to respond to demands of our cells, tissues, and organs. The flip side of this, though, is that the breath itself can also act as a powerful regulator of our experience. Noticing the breath is one thing, but being able to consciously influence the breath, to deepen it when it is shallow, to slow it down when it is rapid, unlocks a wonderful capacity to calm, to soften, to open our response to situations that are challenging. In the words again of Donna Fari, today most of us have forgotten what it feels like to breathe fully and wholly with the vitality of the newborn infant. We have forgotten this, but we have not lost it. In reclaiming the fullness of our breathing, we may also reclaim many other dimensions of our lives. So regulating our emotional and physiological response in this way is reinforced by having access to the full capacity of the breath, also called deep, diaphragmatic or yogic breathing. An important aspect of the medical model of the mechanism here is via stimulation of the vagus nerve. This nerve is a long cranial nerve which connects with our parasympathetic nervous system, one that's involved in the unconscious functions of breathing, of heart rate and digestion, for example. Impulses from the vagus nerve are influential in down-regulating the body-mind towards rest and digest states, as opposed to the sympathetic nervous system, which is associated with the increased heart rate and rapid breathing of our fight or flight response. Incidentally, some other ways to stimulate the vagus nerve include breath holding and cold water immersion. Some of you may be familiar with techniques promoted by Wim Hof, for example, based on the yogic and Buddhist traditions of pranayama and tummo, or kundalini yoga. A second important aspect of this yogic breath is also the emphasis on breathing through the nose. Breathing through the nose filters, moistens, and warms the air that we breathe. It's even thought to boost nitric oxide levels, which play an important role in our immune response, our heart function, and oxygen uptake. While in extreme exercise, for example, mouth breathing can allow us to take in more air, it is less efficient than nose breathing in the long run. And when it becomes a habit, mouth breathing can also be related to a range of problems, including sleep apnea, headaches. The yoga tradition offers many different and sometimes quite elaborate methods for influencing the pattern of the breath. Pranayama, literally breathwork exercises, used to be closely guarded secrets, though, and with good reason. Not only is the breath very powerful, with a profound influence on our mental and physiological states, as we've been hearing, but improper practice, especially excessive use of force, can be harmful or even fatal if it exacerbates an underlying heart or lung condition, for example. For this reason, the more advanced pranayama practices involving rapid breathing and breath retention, for example, are best explored slowly and methodically and with the guidance of a qualified teacher. Practice developing over many months or years is the norm in a traditional setting. Happily, there is immense benefit to be found simply in rediscovering the body's natural capacity for full diaphragmatic breathing, this essential breath that we breathed as a child. Practiced gently and mindfully, full body or diaphragmatic breathing is self-regulating in that the body will always tell us when we're practicing correctly by the feeling of ease and relaxation that we experience. If at any time we experience discomfort, dizziness, pain, or unease, we can feel empowered to take responsibility for our well-being, to stop the practice, to let go of trying to modify the breath in any way in that moment and simply return to our natural breathing pattern. On that basis, with patient, gentle, and regular practice, the body will slowly come to remember its natural full-body breathing pattern. We can start to see that our resting breath begins to occupy more and more of its natural volume, deepening and slowing. Slowly, we will start to have access to the full diaphragmatic breath more often during our day, and also to be able to return to it more readily and instinctively when we are triggered. Other dimensions of our life will begin to benefit from this increased sense of spaciousness and flow. Once again, in the words of Donna Fari, the process of breathing lies at the center of every action and reaction we make or have, and so by returning to it, we go to the core of the stress response. By refining and improving the quality of our breathing, we can feel its positive impact on all aspects of our being. So that much by way of introduction. The following practices are inspired by exercises in the wonderful Breathing Book by Donna Fari and also by traditional yogic and Buddhist practices of breath awareness. Inquiry number one, how do I breathe? For this practice, we need no more than 15 minutes of uninterrupted quiet time and no more equipment than a comfortable, loose-fitting type of clothing and a comfortable place to lie down flat on the floor, for example, on a yoga mat or on a folded blanket. It can be especially restful to bend the knees and place a cushion or a bolster under them so that the lower back can relax completely, coming into contact with the floor. Feel free to pause this recording at this point and make any arrangements that you might need. We begin, first of all, with a simple practice of checking in with the breath. We are invited to let go of all of our ideas about how we should breathe. The same non-judgmental attitude that we try to cultivate in breath awareness meditation we can apply here. The mind which wants to compare, to label things as good or bad, correct or incorrect. This mind can take a back seat for now as we simply open up our awareness to what is here and now. There is no need to change the breath in any way. This provides us with a baseline and begins to train also our sensitivity to the felt experience of the breath. We're cultivating a curiosity about the breath and its many aspects. So finding yourself in a comfortable position, lying down, making any adjustments that you need, you can close the eyes and allow your awareness to shift wholly inside the body, recollecting your awareness to an interior perception, We can slowly scan our awareness through the whole body, breath by breath and part by part, acknowledging, accepting whatever feelings of movement we encounter, even acknowledging and accepting those places where we don't discern any particular feelings or movement, relaxing completely, letting go of tension. Bringing our attention once more to the sensations of the breath in the body, we can begin to ask some questions. The first question: what is the origin of the breath? Just as an earthquake has an epicenter, your breath has an epicenter also. Can we find a place in the body where it feels as if the movement of the breath arises? Question 2. What is the frequency of the breath? Is my breathing fast or slow? We can count our breathing cycles, in-breaths and out-breaths, over the period of a minute, starting now. Question 3. What is the rhythm of the breath? Is there a noticeable difference between the duration of inhalation and exhalation, or are they similar? Question 4. What is the texture of the breath? Does the breath feel rough or smooth? Does it come in jerks or waves? Question 5. The depth of the breath. Does the breath feel deep or shallow? Breath is likely to become quite quiet when we're in a supine rest position or shavasana, so we try to resist the temptation to exaggerate the breath during this question. Question 6. What is the location of the breath? We can ask, where in the body do we find the movement of the breath to be most obvious? At this point, it can be helpful to place the left hand on the belly and the right hand on the upper chest, for example, providing us with a little extra tactile feedback about the movement of the breath in the body. Do we feel movement more in the abdomen or in the chest as we breathe in and out? Inquiry number 2. Finding the full body breath. Having established our baseline through checking in with the breath, in this next exercise we move on into a more active mode of practice, exploring and perhaps rediscovering, we can say, the fullness of volume of our essential breath. For this exercise, we can remain in our supine or shavasana position with the knees bent and supported perhaps by a bolster. We can once again, if we need to, place the hand, the left hand on the belly and the right hand on the upper chest, providing that extra tactile feedback. We can remember, importantly, that if any time we experience discomfort, pain, dizziness, or any unease at all during these, and indeed any type of breath work practice where we are aiming to modify the breath in some way, we can be reassured that it's fine to let go of trying to modify the breath in any way and simply return to our baseline breath, coming back to that observation of the breath just as it is, without need to change it in any way, relaxing, letting go. Breathing in through the nose, we are invited to bring our awareness back to the rise of the belly, aware of the sensations of the belly pushing up against the palm of the left hand as the diaphragm descends into the abdomen, displacing the internal organs. We can also track this movement into the upper chest, feeling a rising and a spreading against the palm of the right hand as the lungs inflate. At the top of the in-breath, we might be aware of the sensation of lifting and spreading in the shoulders, pushing the shoulder blades apart and slightly against the ground beneath us as the breath expands in the upper chest. As we breathe out through the nose, we can be aware of the same pattern in reverse, the release of the shoulders, condensation of the rib cage in the upper chest, the fall of the belly back towards the spine as the diaphragm ascends, emptying the lungs, allowing the abdominal organs to rest back into their positions. Having identified these movements, I invite you now to gently begin to play with the breath, using the action of the descending diaphragm to push slightly against the palm of the left hand, very gently at first, playing with the expansion of the lungs to spread the upper chest, lifting beneath the right hand, exploring the possibilities of the fullness of volume of the breath. And as you breathe out, relaxing the body against the ground, aware of the shoulders pressing down into the earth, the upper chest and rib cage condensing, drawing the belly more deeply down towards the spine, perhaps beneath the left hand. Without forcing too much, gently exploring the possibilities in your own time over the next 5 to 10 breaths, beginning gently at first, slowly exploring the possibility of expanding the breath just that little bit further, deepening the in-breath, extending the out-breath. We can also explore the possibility of resting for a moment in the natural pause between in-breath and out-breath, becoming aware also of that moment of stillness. That moment of fullness at the top of the in-breath, and that moment of emptiness at the bottom of the out-breath. And as you complete this part of the exploration, you can take a break, release the hands down by your sides, palm up, relax completely, allow the breath to return to its natural depth and rhythm for a time, letting go. And for the next exploration, breathing out, I invite you to place both hands this time on the belly with the fingertips just touching, adjusting the position so that your fingertips just barely brushing when the breath is completely empty. And breathing in through the nose, becoming aware of how the fingertips gently separate as the belly expands. Gently exploring the possibilities of increasing this movement for the next 5 to 10 breaths in your own time, with your own breath rhythm, using the feedback from the hands to help you feel into the expansion, the possibilities of the volume of the breath. Remembering to be gentle, not forcing too much, returning to the natural breath if you feel any discomfort. And when you're ready for this last exercise, I invite you to shift the position of your hands to the upper chest this time, again with the fingertips just touching at the bottom of the out-breath, playing with that position until once again, with the in-breath, you're able to receive some tactile feedback again from the spreading, the separation of the fingertips, tracking the lateral expansion of the chest as the lungs inflate at the top of the in-breath. Gently exploring the possibilities of increasing this movement for the next 5 to 10 breaths in your own time. Taking your time with this exploration, going gently and slowly, knowing you can return to the natural breath at any time. Playing with the breath, exploring its possibilities. And when you feel ready, once again I invite you to let go of that exercise, let go of controlling the breath in any way, relaxing completely, letting go of any effort to modify the breath, and return once again to the first exercise, the checking in with the breath. We can ask if we have the impression that the breath is the same as before the exercises, or has it changed in some way? Is the breath arising in the same place as before? Is the frequency of the breath the same as before, or are we breathing more slowly or quickly, perhaps? We can count our breathing cycles, in-breaths and out-breaths, over the period of a minute, starting now. We can compare the count of in-breaths and out-breaths in that minute to our previous count, We can ask, is the breath rhythm the same as before? Is our exhalation and inhalation the same length, or is one longer than the other? We can ask, is the texture, the depth, and the location of the breath the same as before? Are we aware of more or less movement now in the belly or the chest than before? And as we conclude, keeping the eyes closed if you like, you can take the time to roll over onto your right side and rest for 5 or 10 breaths, or whatever the time is that you feel you need, in this recovery position, making room for the heart, allowing time for blood pressure to adjust to the transition from stillness and shavasana position to movement and upright posture. And in your own time, slowly coming into an upright sitting position, you can gently massage the face, open your eyes and massage the head, the neck, the arms, lower back, especially legs and knees, encouraging your circulation to return. And I invite you to take things very slowly and easily as you return from this practice out into an everyday mode of awareness. And you might like to explore the possibility as you do so of pausing from time to time as you go about your daily activities, to also check in with the breath, asking about its location, frequency, its rhythm, and so on. And you might also like to explore the possibility of returning to a full body, a yogic or a diaphragmatic breath when it feels appropriate to do so. Returning to a breathing in and out through the nose, becoming aware of the movement of the diaphragm, expanding into that full breath volume, aware of the rise and fall of the belly, and slowly deepening into the fullness of your breath's natural capacity. Remembering that this is a slow practice to be cultivated over many days, weeks, months, awareness of the full body breath and the breath in the body.